Some animal's trying to crawl up my pants leg or something. I don't know what's going on. Thought I clipped this on. Is this a trick mic or something? You clip it on and then it falls off while the guy's trying to talk? Okay. I'm going to have to jump into this here, I think. I want to say some more stuff about China. That'll probably be some time. And I don't have any newer pictures. They're all on computers, and maybe not all on the computer that's here. I think there's still some left in the computer in China, so I have to get those sent back. There was something I didn't get a chance to say the other day I wanted to. We came into prayer meeting, or the men's prayer meeting, that is. Aaron and I came over, and there was about four men that prayed for Aaron, but nobody requested that, and Aaron didn't request that. And I appreciate that. I'm sure Aaron appreciates it. If you pray for a missionary overseas, or you know, especially think about the Hazard family, especially pray for his wife and his children. I don't know if you had a chance to read his journal there about them being stuck in the building and they can't really go out because of everything that's going on outside in the city. You know, they're crammed in that building. Now, I imagine Lonnie's pretty much the same as any other preacher. You know, you can pile it on him. And the worst that's going to happen to get him is he's going to get a little tired, and maybe he'll collapse and sleep longer or something like that. Same thing with me. You know, you can pile it on me, and maybe the worst that'll happen is I'll just give out, sleep for a week or something, then I'll be fine. But if you're talking about the wife or the children, it's not as easy. They can easily get discouraged, and there's a lot of battles that they have that the missionary, you know, the preacher that was called over there, he has resources to deal with, and God has given him special things to deal with, special graces or whatever, that it's not quite as easy for the family. So continue to pray for their family. And, of course, our family is now going to be two-thirds here, and, well, the kids, two-thirds here, one-third there. How does that work? How many is in my family? Five. So that's two here. Okay. Somebody can come with a fraction for me in after a bit. Well, I'm going to give you something tonight I don't entirely have a handle on. I could have just dug out one of my notebooks and pulled something out. But this has gotten so interesting, studying this, and has produced so many thoughts and musings, and I've been thinking about it all day ever since I started on it. I think I'm just going to dump it on you. And I got an outline here. I got a couple pages here, and it should be all right, but I might confuse some of you. So we'll try it. And as I said, I'm not entirely got a real handle on it, so you can consider it unfinished. And if there's something in here that you figure out is wrong later by your own study, and you go back and check all the verses, then you can pull me aside later, and then I can fix it up for next time. And that'll be better. All right, now we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 here, towards the end of the chapter, we'll start reading from verse 19. He says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Okay. Now, my contention, or what I'm... I don't know if this will be a heresy after I'm done or not, but my contention is that last couple verses, 19 through 22, is a direct reference to the local church. Okay? Now, I think I might have got some of you worried already. That's okay. Now, I just want to assure you that I have no sympathy for the brighter position. Okay? None at all. the body of Christ is a clear doctrine in the New Testament. Okay, you've been here long enough, you know that. You can look at Colossians 1:18 and he said, or 18 and 24. In 18 it says, he that is Christ is the head of the body, the church, right? And in verse 24 he says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Okay? The body of Christ, or what Paul goes to in verse 5, or chapter 5 in Ephesians, right? If you're familiar with that, we won't go look at them all individually. It's very obvious that the body of Christ is a doctrine that Paul is teaching us about, okay? And it's called the church. Also, you got a couple verses there in Romans 12. Every time Paul says the words in Christ, of course, he's talking about all of us that are in the body, right? So you could say half the New Testament, Paul is teaching about the body of Christ, the church, okay? Now, I suppose, you know, some would say, well, maybe that's just a minor issue, and this is probably what they would say. It's just a minor issue, or some might say, well, if you push them to it, it's a matter of semantics or something like that. And I haven't had occasion, hardly, to deal with Baptist writers in China. And I've never asked Brother Kyle if he's actually sat down with one and pushed them on the subject, and what's their response to these very clear verses. You know, they probably wiggle, and maybe they make some excuses and we say, well, it's just about word usage or something. Maybe they say something like that. It's not important. You know, we still do all the stuff the same, and we do fellowship with some folks that tend towards that. And I'm not trying to say that you guys should start a fight with anybody. Okay, it won't do any good. Okay, they're fixed on the way they think. You can't fix that up. Okay, but it does make a difference for you to understand. And I'll give you an illustration why that's true. We have a sister named Lydia. If you've been following our prayer letters, she's been saved for years. She's one of my only remaining English language student back from the days I was teaching at a university, and she's still saved and doing great. She's now in Shanghai. She was with ours for many years in Zhengzhou. She went to Shanghai several years ago with her and her husband to change work. Her husband's not saved. Okay, now, so they get to Shanghai and they find this guy from Singapore. He's a Chinese from Singapore. He's a Baptist. And they get involved in his church, and it seems like a really good spot for them to be. And they really thank the Lord that they found this place. And so after a little while, she finds out, but she can't take communion there. And the reason is because her lineage is not clear. To be in the body of Christ, as they teach it, you have to come out of a church that comes from a good church, that was in all the way back to Peter or Paul. I don't know which one they say. Okay? And there was a question with her because I come out of a church where originally my former pastor was ordained a Methodist. Not to mention all of his other problems, right? His other heresies and so on. So our lineage had a problem, so therefore this sister Lydia had a problem, so she couldn't take communion. Okay, now you think about that. This is a small church. Okay, you know it's not 200 people, so you don't take communion. Nobody's going to notice. Everyone notices, and not only that, her lost husband notices. Okay, so he's going to try to figure this out. What's wrong with my wife? She's been a Christian for years. As far as I can tell, she's doing. You know, she's trying to be a good Christian. She's a good mother, and so on. Well. You know, but of course there's a solution to that, and that would be to be baptized or rebaptized, I guess baptized into the body of Christ, right? If you understand their twisted reasoning, that would solve the problem. Okay? She'd be baptized into the body of Christ, which is that local church, according to them. And she refused to do that, so because she knew it was wrong, and you know, we discussed it, and you know, I didn't tell her not to, but she wouldn't do it. Her conscience was against it. And so she went along for a long time, almost a year, I guess, more than a year. And, I mean, the guy was likable. The preacher was a likable guy and friendly to her husband and everything. And but in the end, it was just, you know, it hurt her. It hurt her daughter. She found another preacher. Actually, he's a Bible believer that went down to Shanghai and started going to his church, even though it was an hour and a half away. Okay, because he's normal. He's a normal Baptist, or not a, a Baptist brother. And this guy then, he does a switch. He says, oh, well, I guess it'd be okay if you take communion. You don't have to get rebaptized. After he found out, she started to go to another church. Okay. Now, that's the kind of nonsense that will go on if you don't get this straight. Okay. So, go back to where we're at here. That was a side thing, just to make let you all know I'm with you. I'm not a heretic. I'm not one of them. Okay. But I think I got. I think I have a clearer understanding of this topic than I did before I started digging into it recently. And I'd like to, you know, maybe give you some of that. Okay, another contention I have that you've probably never thought about is that the local church and a local church congregation are not the same thing, and they should be understood separately when you read Paul. You follow what I said? Normally, we don't think, up until now, I've never heard anybody say that you should think about the local church, okay, that's that, and then there's the local congregation, which is what you guys, you know, what this is here, okay? They're not the same thing. Paul doesn't always use them the same. Okay, now, I'll explain that more in a bit, okay? Now, how this got started, I started digging into this. I was going to write on here, but it's only a few things. And if I try to go across there, I might fall or whatever, okay? What I started wondering when I started reading through Ephesians recently, I started thinking to myself, well, Paul, he switches from we, us, and our. That means Paul's including himself with who he's writing to, and then he switches to you, ye, and your. That is, who he's writing to, but he's not including himself, right? Bet you never thought about it too much. I started thinking about that, and for example, we, us, and our. If you look in chapter 1, okay, except for the salutation in verse 2, where he says, grace be to you. All the way down to verse 12, he's talking about how we are predestinated in Christ and so on. He never uses you. He always uses the inclusive of himself, all the way down to verse 12. Okay? And then, after that, he'll be switching up from there. Well, what does he mean then when he switches over to you? Okay? Or ye or your? What is he referring to? Well, in chapter 1, verse 1 now, he's saying, who is this book written to, right? To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay. Now he mentions two groups there. First of all, the saints that are in Christ Jesus, okay, at Ephesus. Okay. That's a smaller subset of the second people, he says. The faithful in Christ. Okay. So later on then, when he says you or ye, which one's he referring to? Is he referring to the body in Christ as his discussion has gone in the first part of chapter 2? Or like when he switches over and starts using ye in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted? Okay, is he still referring to all the faithful, or is now is he narrowing down and maybe pointing it more towards the Ephesian Christians? Okay, well, in chapter 1, verse 22, now that use of the word church there is what? That's obvious what that is, right? That's his body. I mean, it says right after that in verse 23. The use of the word church there, he's talking about the body. In chapter 3, verse 10, you use the word church there, right? That should be the body too. How about chapter 3, verse 17? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Okay? Well, in verse 12, he used the word we, so he is including himself. But in verse 13, he switches over and uses ye. Okay? Wherefore I desire that ye faint not. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So he mentions the whole family in context with you. Well, he's certainly saying all of us together, we're in the whole family, and he's going to grant you riches, and you don't need to be worried too much about my tribulations. We're all in it. We're all in him together. Okay? And then but he does something interesting here in verse 18. He mentions ye, your hearts by faith in ye in verse 17, right? That Christ might dwell in your hearts. Now, those are individuals. It could be all Christians, or maybe it's just a smaller group like the Christians in Ephesus. Being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Now, why did he have to throw that in? If he was already referring to all of the Christians, why did he have to throw that extra phrase in, with all saints? So, okay, so I think I got you scratching your head, right? That's my... Okay, and I'm scratching my head too. Why did he do that? Why did he have to throw that in? And verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Okay, now, if you've thought about the local church compared to the body of Christ at all, you have a basic idea, is that the local church is kind of a practical outworking of the body of Christ. It's where we work and do, right? It's where we do the stuff we learn about. So maybe that's what Paul's kind of referring to here, okay? Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Now, I think that could be there, the local church. Okay? How about chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. Well, okay, there you go. In the first part of the chapter, he's clearly discussing characters of he's discussing the body. I mean, that's one of the obvious verses, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one body, verse 4. And then he goes along, and when you get to verse 11 there, he's given the church these jobs or abilities or as you see the list here, positions for people to work. What are they doing? They are for what's it for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Okay, this is where it happens in your daily life. Okay, now he's switching down to the practical level. This is what happens at the local church. This stuff is worked out at the local church level. Okay. Then look what he does in verse 13. Till we all. Why does he add the all there again? Because he's switching back. You see what I'm saying? He moved down to the practical level and he's talking about what happens at the local church. And now he's going to go back to say we, but he's going to emphasize it because he's switching back. He's saying we all. Okay? Thinking about it? Okay. When you read your Bible, you know it's not I mean, even though it's English and everything, you know it's not like other English, right? I mean, if you got the withers and the whithersoever's in the, you already know that. Everybody in here understands that. But there's something else that I want to remind you of, and that originally, well, when the Bible was written originally, these are languages that are different than modern English in what, in a sense, I want to remind you of it, and that is they require a higher understanding of the context of the environment. Okay, they're called high context languages, like Hebrew, okay, and Greek a little bit less. That is to say, if you're going to understand when you read something or something in one of those languages, you have to have a good understanding of the context and environment, because the writer assumes you know this stuff, okay? And Chinese is also like that. Chinese assumes a lot that you, so they leave a bunch of stuff out, and they assume that you know some stuff. Whereas modern English isn't like that, okay? Modern English, they can throw everything in there, and you can know nothing about a situation. You read something in modern English, and you pretty much got the meaning. But in Bible times when they were writing it, wasn't quite that way. I never took Hebrew, but as I understand, it requires some more understanding of the context and everything. Isn't that right, brother? Okay, Chinese is the same. So what I'm reminding you of is that when Paul writes, you have to try to imagine the context, and he expects us to. Okay, he expects us to think about the context of what he's writing about. Okay, it won't be like reading Time magazine, you know, where you can just read and you know nothing, and you know it's all explained for you there with the vocabulary and everything else. Paul's expecting you to try to think about the context. Okay, now I said I would explain more about what I mean by the local church and the local congregation. The local church, as you will already understand it, is a physical or a practical manifestation of the body of Christ. Okay? It's an entity, just like Israel was and is an entity. Okay? And when Paul talks about it, it's going to include all of the local church congregations wherever they are, right? Okay? But a local church congregation, a local congregation, is an organizational unit, okay? It's just like a larger family. It's organized almost like a family. And Paul uses all of the words that we use when we talk about a family, the most obvious being brother and sister, okay? But Paul even divides it up more, the elder ladies, when we give some instructions about older men and women and so on, young men, old men, okay? He divides it up even more, which is something interesting. In Chinese language, they do that. There's a word for a special word for your older brother, and it's a different word for your younger brother. And if you don't know, you're going to be thinking in your head, because to try to say generic brother doesn't sound right. In fact, it's almost, I think it's grammatically wrong. I mean, you can say it, but you have to know. We have a set of twins in our church that were born about 5 minutes apart. And every time I want to talk to one of them and refer to the sister, I have to think, which one was born first? Which one was born before? I can never do it. I can never remember, so I just have to use her name. I can never say your sister, because I'm supposed to say your older sister or younger sister, but I forgot. Okay. I've asked them several times. It's no good. I can't remember. Okay? Now, these two uses are a little different, okay? And why that's important, I'll explain in a little bit. Okay, now the word church, the word is used over 100 times in the New Testament, okay? And we've mentioned the few places where it expressly and obviously refers to the body of Christ, okay? But then if you add churches, yes, on there, then what do you get? It doesn't refer to the body of Christ anymore, right? It refers to local churches here or there, okay? For example, it may give a location, or maybe it won't. For example, let's see, 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 14 verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Okay? That's the local church. As an entity on this earth. Okay? Now, the local church as an entity, as a as you look at as a, you know, the all local congregations put together, and we say that's the local church. It doesn't have an organizational structure. Okay? That's what the Catholics do. And that's what the Episcopalians do. And we don't do that. Okay? At most, what you might have is a couple places where the office of bishop is mentioned, and it looks like maybe he's taking care of more than one church. Okay? But otherwise, the local church has no organizational structure. That's what I mean by it's an entity. But the local congregation has an organizational structure. Okay? So the word churches is going to refer to the local church. It may be a specific one, a specific congregation. 2 Corinthians 11. There's one where it's that. I ran through all 100 this last couple days, but I was kind of scrambling earlier today, so I don't get as many references as I wanted for you. But you can go back and study them, right? You all got concordances, and you probably got a little software program, too, that does it really fast. Okay? So I'm giving you an idea, and you can go back and look at it some more. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 8. Paul says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, Paul there is referring to specific local congregations that he asked for some money for, okay? And he wants these guys to feel bad about it, so he says he robbed them. But those are local congregations for that use of the word churches, okay? Now, of course, there's many times where the word church, without the plural on there, refers to the local church corporately. For example, 1 Corinthians 14, 4. Okay, that was next to just up from what we looked at earlier, 14, 4. Paul's writing to the Christians in Corinth, and he says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." This whole chapter, the context is in the, you know, in the meeting, right? That's what he's talking about. Verse 19, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding. Okay? He's not referring to the body. He's talking about having a meeting, worship service. And in the church, when you guys do that, this is a bunch of nonsense that's been going on. Okay? Chapter 16 and verse 9 is pretty interesting. 16 verse 9. That's not right. Verse 19, sorry. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. Okay? Now that one's easy to figure out, isn't it? The Church of Asia is referring to the local church as an entity, all of them in Asia. But then, the church right there is a certain local congregation. There's others where there's no doubt about it. We'll show you two more. Romans 16. Romans 16, verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. How about Colossians 4:15? Colossians 4:15. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. Okay, so how do we know for sure here that it's a local congregation? I read three of them now. You should be able to figure that out. Somebody just shout it out. Yes, exactly. It's in his house. What else could it be? Okay? It's not several local congregations in a city or a couple. It's just the one in their house. Okay? When he added house, that really made it specific. Okay? There are some unclear ones. At least they're unclear to me at this moment. They were this afternoon. I'll show them to you. Acts chapter 20. Now watch. I'll read it to you now. It won't be unclear anymore. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Oh, now, is that the local church or the body of Christ? I'm unclear. Maybe I'm too stupid. But in my mind, it could be both, because he's talking about what has been purchased, okay? But then he makes a reference to overseers. But then again, there needs to be overseers over the whole church of God, as far as the body goes. That's something he gave to the church. Remember, we read those positions earlier. So I'm kind of unclear about that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 28. Okay, now this is the one that talks about these positions. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and so on. Well, maybe he's talking about that when he says the church there, he's talking about the local church as an entity, as we've been talking about it just now. Okay? Or he's got the word body right up in verse 27, right? He mentions the body. Now, ye are the body of Christ. But that doesn't mean he can't switch over, right? Now, am I saying he did switch over? I'm not sure. Okay? Now, even confusion means something. Okay? I'm going to explain that to you in a minute. Okay? How about 1 Timothy 3? 1 Timothy 3. Well, God's not the author of confusion, right? So maybe I shouldn't be confused. Maybe I got something wrong, right? Okay, that's what we're working on. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the church, of the truth. Now, what's he referring to there? The body or the local church? He calls it the house of God. Well, there's a couple other places where that idea is used. Just now we've seen where the word house was used. It showed us for sure, without a doubt, that that was a local congregation. Right? So, I mean, I haven't gone back and surveyed and looked somewhere and say, what does someone else think that was before? Or look at verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Paul's going to go there pretty soon, right? So then what is he referring to in chapter 15 if it's not that place that he's going to go to? See that? So maybe he's referring to when he says here the house of God, okay, and the church of the living God. The local church should be that, right? Shouldn't this be the local church of the living God? Whose other God's local church should it be, right? It should be his. Okay. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We started there. I took you on a little bit of a tour. Some of these usages of the inclusive pronoun, like we and us, and then the other one. What's that one called, Brother Bob? Ye, you, as a pronoun. It's not inclusive. I'm going somewhere I shouldn't go. Never mind. We won't talk about it. chapter 2, verse 12. Paul says that at that time ye were without Christ. Now he's told you everything you got when you got in Christ already. He told you all of the wonderful things in chapter 1 and how you are sealed and so on. Okay? And that everything is done and you are, and he is now sitting in heavenly places above all principalities and powers. Okay? And you have been snatched, you were dead before, and you were controlled by the prince of the power of the air. And he says, ye were without Christ at that time, okay? Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's what we were. That's what he's saying you were before, you Ephesians. But now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now you're in. Okay, he's telling you guys are in now. What I just explained to you earlier in chapter 1, you're in now. How did that happen? Well, verse 16. It starts from verse 13. He goes on. The summary is, or the end of it is verse 16. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. And so now you're all in this one body. You guys, you Ephesians, or whatever location he might be talking to. You're there now in this one body. And then in verse 18, in verse 16 now, he was talking about the body, right? And then he does something in verse 18. For through him, we both. You see, he stuck that both on there. Why did he have to do that? Because he switched. He was talking about the body. First, he was saying, you guys, you were aliens without Christ. Okay? And now you're in. And it was because of what Christ did. He put you all in one body. For through him, now he's going to switch back. We both. Okay? You know what? This is a singular usage in the whole body. We both. I wonder if I can get a plaque for that later when we get to. I mean, it talks about rewards and everything, and you get crowns, and I mean, this isn't really big or anything. Maybe I get a plaque. Maybe someone else has discovered it. There's two other places. I'll just show you one. 1 Corinthians 4:11, where it's used. These two words together are used. 1 Corinthians 4:11. Okay. Put the plaque up in my mansion. Brother Christofferson for discovering the singular usage of we both. Receives this plaque for his studious efforts. 4:11. Even on to this present hour we both hunger and thirst. Okay, he's talking about those two things. Both hunger and thirst. That's not the same as what we just read. Okay, and the other usage just like this is in 1 Timothy 4:10. You can write it down if you want. 1 Timothy 4:10. It's the same thing. Both, he's talking about two things. But in Ephesians here, Ephesians 2, we can go back there. We both means me and you guys. Me and all of you, and you all. He switched over because earlier, just above, he was talking about the body. And now he's going to switch back and talk about the local congregation. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. It used to be outside. But fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Fellow citizens with the saints. Now, if he's using the word fellow citizens to refer to everyone in the body of Christ, I'm confused why he has to add with the saints. My opinion is that when he says there are fellow citizens, he's referring to the Ephesians as a local church, those that are a part of the local church. And he's saying, you guys in the local churches are also with all the saints. Okay? Fellow citizens, the other part of it is of the household of God. Okay? Now, if fellow citizens there is referring to those local church Christians, members of those local churches, the household of God could be a reference to the local church. Okay? You follow that? I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. Like I said, it's something to think about. What is a household? Every time in the Bible, except for just a couple of places, it's just a simple reference to a family unit, people that live together. And there may also be, it may not just be, you know, brother and sister, of the same parents. Who else could it be? If you go back into the Old Testament, who else is somebody's household? They may have servants, okay, someone else. But what happens if you are a stranger and you come into the land of Israel and you are willing to accept the God of Israel, Jehovah? What can you become? You basically can become an Israelite. You can sacrifice. You can be circumcised if you're male. And you can attend the Passover and stuff, right? You can be like one of them. You get to be in the family. Used to be this person was an alien, okay? Was a stranger. He was outside of the commonwealth, okay? And if he was willing to do these things, and maybe he's in somebody's household, and he says, you know, the God that you worship is a righteous and holy God. I want to be in all the way. So he can do that. Even though he wasn't, he was born outside of Israel. He wasn't originally an Israelite. Galatians chapter 6. I wanted to take you there for a minute. Galatians chapter 6. It mentions the word household here. Now, in the past, I've understood that as referring to the body of Christ. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Especially since it adds the word faith there, I've always just assumed that was the body of Christ. But now I'm thinking maybe he's making a special reference to the local churches. Okay. Now remember what I said. The local church is an entity. It is a physical manifestation on this earth of the body of Christ. It is not the same as a local congregation in a certain area. Okay. And if you've been understanding it like that, then you would have to say, well, he can't be saying that here. Okay. But if you remember that they're different, then you can see it a little differently, right? Because the local church is also large in that sense. And it should include, and it includes all Christians. Right? Well, I shouldn't say that because not all Christians are in local churches. They should be, okay? Practically speaking, that's what it's supposed to be, okay? You're supposed to be in a local church if you're saved, okay? Look back at verse 2. I mean, in chapter 6 here, he's talking about some practical stuff about people living together in close proximity for the most part. Bear ye one another's burdens. I mean, that does take place between other local congregations, like Paul has just made reference to. He got some money from one group to help another. Okay, so those are two separate local congregations. But you see what I'm saying? Okay, chapter 6 has a lot of practical discussion about what happens in the local church, be it just in a single congregation or maybe cross congregations and stuff. So I don't think it's unreasonable to think that when he says the household of faith there, that he's referring to the local church as an entity. Okay? Now let's go back to Ephesians. Wow, this is working out just right on time here. I was thinking I had way too much. I had 3 pages here. Usually that'd be way over an hour. I guess because I'm still partially confused, I don't talk as much. That's better. Okay, chapter 2. Now, let's keep going here. We were in verse 19. Now, my suggestion is that he's referring to the local church. In verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. An holy temple in the Lord. To be in the Lord is to be the body of Christ, right? So what is a holy temple doing in the Lord? Maybe I'm just making too much of the words. Maybe. But what I'm thinking of is Paul is likening the local church to the temple. Okay? Now, how many temples you got in the Bible? You got several. There's one during Solomon's time. Okay, and ye are the temple. Okay, and then later on in Revelation, you got another one there. What is a temple? It's a special it's a place where God's glory is manifested in a special way, right? That should be you and I. People see something about you, something about what God does, that's different than where they might see it somewhere else. They see a special manifestation of God. His holiness, His loving kindness, it should be in you, okay? And in the same sense, if a bunch of you get together and live together and work together and worship together, it should be the same thing. They come in here, some person that's been a stranger without hope and without God, he's going to come in here and he should see a special manifestation of God working in this congregation. He should be able to say, God is here in a special way, and I am without God. I am without hope. I am a stranger. I'm an alien. He should come in and say, wow, this is kind of like a big family, right? It's a household. Maybe they're not all got the same mother and father, but they live together like they're brother and sister or something. They even call each other that. Okay, now, that phrase there, in the Lord, look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. If it's talking about the body, then Paul has confused me even more here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if Paul is talking about the local church located in Thessalonica, he says they are in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm still thinking that Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 there, when he talks about the holy temple being in the Lord, he's talking about the local church. In whom, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together, ye, for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Build it together. That's being being worked on. It's already started. Started by the apostles. Okay. Now, I could be wrong about this, but I think I can say, if we just want to talk about a similitude, everything I said is fine. Okay. And if Paul is using these similitudes to tell us what we should be like as a practical lesson, we should pay attention. We are, this household here, if this is a household, is it also a habitation of God? We can ask ourselves that. That'd be a good one. What I think is Paul intends for us to implicitly think the local church or our local congregation whenever he mentions the word church. Okay? That's why he bounces around back and forth all the time. In fact, the concept of the local church, he doesn't really teach it out as a doctrine. He teaches the body of Christ as a doctrine in several places. But how do we know there's the idea of a local church? Because he's described how it's organized and he's made references to it. But he doesn't say this is a local church, and he doesn't do it like he teaches the body of Christ. Because they're so tied together. What he wants us is to think about them, whenever you study the body of Christ, you should be thinking about, well, where is that practically working out? Is it working out here? Am I just studying this stuff and it's about the body of Christ, which is something I can't see, and going to heaven is I can't see that yet either, and I'm not there yet? Or is it something we're supposed to be doing right now, working out right now? And he put that in us, and he said he would work in us to make that manifestation of his body that other people can see. If we study all this stuff about what it means to be in Christ, but we never do it here, then I think we are really missing Paul's intent. I think we are. I think when he talks about the body of Christ, he intends for us to be thinking, how has that worked out in the local church and specifically my local congregation? It bounces around a lot, and sometimes it's not even clear, and maybe it doesn't need to be. What if he's referring to both? Right? Okay. If you want to pick at that, feel free. After a while, you can come to me privately. All right, brother, that's all I have for tonight.
I actually think I smell brain gear lubricant burning. Some of you actually have these little wafts of smoke coming out of your ears. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Josh is going to come lead us in the song. Remind you about street preaching tomorrow, and please sign up for camp. If you're planning to go to camp, please put your name on a list back there. We appreciate that very much. And if you need to still sign that vase that Brother Ingeseth made, see Marcy, she is the guardian of the vase. Yes?
And I also forgot the Father's Son audience is 2:18 that Friday, Saturday. Father's Day weekend.
We'll get that on the calendar. Okay, sounds good, Brother Josh.
We'll sing 198.
Thank you. Father, we pray that you'll just dismiss us with your blessing and pray that we'll each have hearts to study and dig deep into our Bibles and find out the things that are in it that you'd have us find out the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are hid therein. And the Bible says it's to honor kings to search out a manner. Help us to keep searching and not grow weary in it. And thank you for what we heard tonight. And pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.